What is going on, everybody, and welcome back to the show with me, Connor Warman. I've got a great show for you guys today. I'm really excited to dive into it. Super cool story, great conversation. But first, I just wanted to remind you guys that you can go find us on Instagram, Up Before You Won, Facebook, Up Before You Won, and now Twitter, Up Before You Won. So go check us out on that. Give us a like. You can stay up to date with all our latest content, what we're doing, the guests we're having on the show, other things we're doing. We got some really cool stuff coming up, so I'm excited for you guys to go check that out. Also, please go like us on Apple Podcasts and leave us a 5-star rating and a review if you have been a long-time listener of the show. I really appreciate the feedback, good or bad. Thank you for that. And you can also find us on Spotify or basically wherever else that you get your podcasts. Okay, continuing with the Up Before You Legends series, I bring back Aaron Matta. Aaron was on the show a few years ago, and this time we talk all about pregnancy, which is something I know very, very, very little about. But more specifically, we talk about athletes and more specifically people in CrossFit doing CrossFit while they're pregnant, how they kind of ramp it down as they go through the stages of pregnancy, and then how they ramp it back up afterwards. Also, all the changes that go on in your body that I also have no idea and know very little about. But what happens and the damage you can do by working out too hard, not working out enough. We dive into it. Aaron talks all about it. I learn a lot. It's a great show. It's a great episode, a lot of fun, and I hope you guys enjoy it, and I hope you guys are able to take something from it. Now, let's get on with the show. Aaron, how's it going?
Hi, good.
Welcome back.
Thank you.
I don't remember when you were on here last. Do you remember at all?
2018.
It had to be, right? I don't remember when, but it was 2018 for sure. I think so.
Yeah, it was for
Johnny
sure.
Johnny was 2017, and that was way in the beginning. So you had to be 2018, I'll bet. Probably.
But I think I want to say it was like April.
April? Maybe,
wrong.
Yeah. I remember we were in the same room, but we were sitting over there mm-hmm. on the couch. Back then, I just had one microphone that sat in the middle, mm-hmm. and it was a lot different, but yep. Yeah, welcome yep. back.
Upped your technology game.
Upped it a little bit, yeah. Mm-hmm. So it's been 2 years. What's happened in 2 years? Besides a lot.
Personally, or?
Just anything.
Anything.
Sure. Personally. How old was Layton then?
2.
Layton was 2 then?
Mm-hmm.
Wait, Layton's 4 now?
She just turned 4.
Mm-hmm. She still seems like a baby to me. Well, when I was over last weekend and you were giving her a bath in the sink.
That's more of a convenience like, thing. She's not quite fitting anymore. That's for me, not for her. Well, both, but.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Yeah, that was funny. I was like, wait a second. She's not that little.
She doesn't lay back. She just sits.
I wish I could take baths in the sink still. It'd be funny if you tried.
Yeah. Well, that'd be a lot to have to go on.
Yeah.
Yeah.
So, speaking of Layton, and so she was 2 at the time and you had just been pregnant, we wanted to talk about just that in general, kind of like, I guess, what happens to your body when you're pregnant and then, like, what happens afterwards.
Yeah.
Because I feel like a lot of people don't even really understand it fully.
Right. Well, I'd say any mom definitely understands it, but I think even hearing from other moms, they learn different situations, you know, because every you know, mom is different, every pregnancy is different. So
but is it something you know, like, going into it, or is it something that you learn more from experience and you're like, okay, I wish I would have done this, or I didn't know this was going to happen?
Yeah,
like, more something you learn looking back.
Yeah, I mean, I've had 3 pregnancies and 3 kids, so each one was definitely a different experience for sure, just because of a first, a second, and a third. So just not knowing anything, knowing something, knowing a lot more on the third. And then the changes in the body, obviously there's aging going on in my body, right? So I've aged between yep. having my 3 kids, so that happens. And then yeah, exercise between, and just life, you know, life in general. And so, yeah, there's a lot of changes that happen before and after. And it is a big topic, I think, with women and women who are, you know, have had babies, and what that all means as far as taking care of yourself. And yeah.
Yeah. It's kind of amazing to me, like just the process of having a kid. Not like the. I mean, like
not the act, something the
that, yeah, not the act.
You know,
yeah, we all know.
Well, that's, yeah.
No, I just mean like I know just the fact that someone can, like, you can grow this thing inside of you.
It's amazing.
That's like, and then it's what we are today. It's like amazing. It's just like this unbelievable process that.
Yeah. Definitely something to not take for granted, and to be so grateful that your body can do those amazing things. And then even like knowing now, I'm sure like for you, even as an athlete, right? So and myself testing that, right? You can see what your body can do, right? When under stress, and then how cool, you know, the woman's body is that can do all that stuff, have a baby in it. I mean, and grow a baby. And then there's, you know, of course, things that can go different directions. I mean, you can have really positive experiences. And then there's, you know, health situations that happen because of byproducts of what the person, you know, did in their life and maybe how they ate. Or there's genetic situations that can come up. And then there's things that are, you know, beyond people's control that also happen. So, yeah, there's lots of, you know, that's anyone and any, you know, that's any person. But, yeah, that adding that when there's another life involved, you know, that stakes are higher for sure.
Is it okay to exercise while you're pregnant?
Definitely.
Is there anyone who says it isn't?
I mean, it's no different than, I mean, I think really anything. I mean, people don't think, you know, some people are against CrossFit.
Yep.
Some people are against, you know, there's some people, you know, so there's, I think anyone, so a while back, right, let's just say, you know, in the, let's even bring it to the 80s, right? It was kind of like a newer thing that was starting. I mean, it was, there was controversy with exercise and during pregnancy. Yep. And are there pros? Are there cons? What's happening? You know, and now bring it to 2020 and there's still controversy over it, but there's so much more knowledge. And definitely the education behind it and all of these experiences and talking to any OB will definitely tell you that it is a positive, very positive thing. More positives can come from exercise.
Now, with that being said, can you take it too far?
Yeah.
I mean, like anything, you pretty much can.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, I mean, I don't know how many things you want me to get into that someone could take it too far, but I mean, yeah, there's, so if we're talking during pregnancy.
Yep.
I mean, like any person, you could just, there's risk of injury. And again, if you're right doing something that you're not only injuring yourself, you could, right, have a accidental situation with your baby. So there's always these things. So so safety is a concern. But I mean, heat, right? A woman should not overheat during pregnancy, right? Now you're exercising, you're getting your body temperature up. If it happens to be really warm outside, you have to make sure that you are having, breaks to make sure the body's staying cool or in an environment to stay cool, you know, things like that. So you definitely don't want to overheat. Maybe you can go through a ton of things. But, I mean, as long as someone, I mean, extreme situations, don't go water skiing, don't do mountain climbing, don't do, you know, like really obvious things, right?
Yeah.
Like, but, I mean, other than that, I mean, there are stages of the pregnancy, different trimesters that maybe things should be limited as the baby is growing, inside. So as the baby's weight gains, right, baby's getting bigger in the belly, should limit things.
Yeah.
Right? And the reason you limit is because if you're taking care of your body in the future. So you're thinking, if I am 28 years old and I think I should run during my entire pregnancy because it feels great and I love it, you can. And like you can as in you physically can. Should you? I would definitely say not probably in your third trimester. So that would be 30 weeks plus. That weight of the baby, right? That bouncing, that impact definitely will take a toll on your body. And the pelvic floor, which is in charge of many functions for women.
Is that like actually a floor? Like a
surface? If you can envision more of like a hammock.
Okay.
right?
That's what it kind of is.
Yeah. Okay. So it's kind of like hanging out there, right? It's okay. It's in charge of many, right? Many things, mm-hmm. many functions, and urinating is one of them, mm-hmm. right? And how you control your holding your urine in, mm-hmm. right?
So, yeah.
Also, it's in charge of other things too, because what else is down there is poop, right?
Yep,
so
yep, okay.
That's also right next, mm-hmm. right where you pee,
so
right?
That can get messed up.
Mm-hmm.
How does that happen?
Just so the impact running, mm-hmm. right, is an impact activity, jump rope.
Yeah, I was gonna say I couldn't imagine a very pregnant woman double under is probably not being a good thing. To
right,
do. Box bouncing
jumps.
Up and down.
Yeah, I mean, so you just think of things that are, there's impact during, mm-hmm. Like squatting, right, is not as big of a deal, but if you're doing a heavy squat clean, there is an impact that happens, right? So you can kind mm-hmm. of think of how that could happen. Snatch, right, if you're bouncing the bar off of a mm-hmm. pelvis, that's fine because the baby's not down there, but there is an impact that goes with when the weight, you know, like that increases as your weight increases.
Mm-hmm.
So
let's put it like into perspective in CrossFit, because that's the world that we both live in. So if you're a woman who's pregnant in CrossFit, what would be kind of the progression? So you said like early on, you can pretty much stay normal, right? And then how do you kind of slowly ramp it down or maybe just evolve it and make it a little different so it's safe for you?
Right. So I wanted to go really quick, go back and
yeah,
say
go ahead.
That my experiences as a coach, mm-hmm. I've learned from those,
okay.
right? I've learned from my experiences in my personal life.
Yeah.
But then I also wanted to add that I have taken a certification to get
okay.
where I am today and kind of to learn, kind of, I feel like that's my final, I don't say final, I mean, I'm always learning, right? But I want to make sure I preface that I'm not just, this isn't just pulled out from my own personal experience or mm-hmm. even other people's personal experience. Like I took a certification and,
so,
learned since my own experiences, mm-hmm. kind of one of those things like, shoot, I wish I would have known this.
Yeah.
You know what I mean? But it's
yeah,
okay.
I mean,
it happens. It's
yeah.
part of life. But I, wow.
Yeah.
I was CrossFitting with Layton and I was running with my other two pregnancies. Mm-hmm. Right.
Yeah.
So I've learned a lot since. And that's what I want to share this knowledge with other women. And I also want to share it with CrossFit coaches. I mean, and then with every woman, there's probably a man around that maybe is her
yep.
partner that maybe needs to understand these
yep.
things too, right?
Mm-hmm.
And be a support person, right? Hopefully
yeah.
many support people for this person that's pregnant. But that's yes. what I want to say. This isn't coming just from me mm-hmm. as a mom. It's coming from multiple places of experience and where, mm-hmm. what I've learned along the way. So,
yeah, so
sorry for stopping
right.
your question,
but
I don't want to just say like I'm coming up with these things
just
randomly. From my own experience,
yeah.
which is helpful and tons of moms can share their own experiences, but there are, yeah, things I, like I said, I've learned, even though I thought I knew it all as a CrossFit mm-hmm. coach who had two pregnancies already going into my third pregnancy as a CrossFit coach and a CrossFitter for, at that time, over 6 years, I was CrossFitting when I had Layton.
Mm-hmm.
So when I was pregnant with Layton. So I'm saying now I've even, you know, mm-hmm. let's take it 10 years later since I've been CrossFitting, I've definitely learned,
yeah.
you know, a lot since then. So
sorry
to bring you back to that,
no,
but I wanted
right.
to make sure people didn't think I was just pulling this stuff out of my own personal experience, which is important, but.
Yeah. But elaborate on that a little bit. So besides the fact that you've been pregnant three times and had three kids, what kind of got you interested in this kind of thing in the first place? Like wanting to not only learn more about it, but share it with other people and try to help other people.
It came from my own personal experience of not only experiencing, you know, just exercise in general. I mean, I was a fitness instructor first, right? So
yeah.
I worked at the YMCA. I mean, I taught cardio kickboxing, step aerobics, you know, all that fun stuff. So, I mean, I was doing that during my first pregnancy, right? So I was still doing, it was, you know, it was more than just running, right? I wouldn't call it cross training, but it was, you know, and I would do like strength train on my own, you know, dumbbells
yeah.
and stuff.
Mm-hmm.
I mean, I know how to do that. I was programming for people. Second pregnancy, I had a, you know, 18-month-old being Ellison, my, you know, firstborn. And then I was pregnant, you know, with Nolan for my second one. So then it slowed me down a little bit more. So running was really my only you know, form of exercise and actually just getting out of the house just to go exercise. I was still teaching group fitness at the time, though.
Were you a big runner?
No, but I didn't.
No.
Since I played soccer, I felt like that I didn't really have a lot of other options afterwards that I felt competitive in.
Okay.
I always wanted to be competitive within something.
Yeah, everybody always goes to that. Everybody always goes to running. Like, that's like their go-to.
It's like I think it's just like I didn't know other things. I mean, I wouldn't do a group fitness class with myself, but that's like the only other thing I knew, right? I knew how to do like, I wrote like workouts, like kind of like a cross training, like workouts, you know? Like,
yeah. Okay.
But I, you know, with burpees and, you know, running and push-ups and squats. I mean, but I wasn't doing them the way that I know now.
Yeah.
But anyway, so I wanted to preface that I was doing, you know, I was active. I was running during my first two pregnancies and then learning. Then when I was six, then Nolan was 6 months old, I learned about CrossFit. So I was 6 months postpartum with Nolan when I got into CrossFit. Mm. And that opened the door, you know, obviously a lot more exercises. And so then learning from what I knew from in CrossFit, right? Learning that, having that journey from 2010, and I was pregnant in 2016 with Layton. So, and then I had already been coaching and had a couple of certifications, you know, under my belt within CrossFit. So, I've learned, you know, so I got to kind of see different experiences of exercise through, you know, pregnancy. And then that journey has led me to knowing what my body now, currently I'm 4 months postpartum, right? That's how you could, 4 years, 4 years since Layton's 4 years old. So I'm 4 years out, which you don't really say that anymore. But I now know my body, right, today as a 40-year-old, right, mom of three. I think that there are effects that I have today from the way I exercise during my pregnancies, meaning that I probably maybe did too much at different points where I probably should have pulled back, because exercise makes you feel good, right?
Yep.
You want more, especially, you know, the CrossFit world, right? If you're having a healthy pregnancy, which I was grateful and thankful for, you can keep going. It feels good. However, those, when you push and you're excited and you want more, right, you could be doing damage. And I didn't know that at the time, learning that now, learned it through my education with becoming a pre and postnatal fitness specialist, that my body now as a 40-year-old and possibly down the line, I may have done little things to I didn't do anything serious and I'm very lucky, but I could have.
Okay.
Right. But there are still little things that are, you know, so women joke about after they've had babies, you know, and it can be way out, right? I mean, it can be like, you know, anyone's mom laughing when they're doing double unders or laughing when they do box jumps because their pelvic floor has weakened, or they, from pregnancy and then from not maintaining and strengthening that, they pee when they jump rope. And it's something, it is embarrassing. So you do laugh, right? I mean, you don't want to pee.
I mean, yeah, I've seen it happen firsthand.
What movie is that? It's like, pee in your pants is cool, but oh, not, yeah. You know,
yeah,
but
yeah,
you
yeah,
pee is
yeah.
Like Billy, was it?
Billy Madison.
Adam Sandler does it. Yeah. I mean, it. So we can make
it's
a joke.
It's the coolest.
But it's not, right? You don't want to, right? But of course, when you're embarrassed, you laugh about it. And then when you hear, and like the other moms are all around you saying, yeah, I did too, mm-hmm. I did too. It seems like, oh, that must be a normal thing. Mm-hmm. And while it's common, it doesn't mean it's right.
Yes.
So I want to help educate women how to, during pregnancy, you know, and then after pregnancy, postpartum, how they can do things to make sure that they don't injure their bodies, their 40-year-old bodies, their 50-year-old bodies, their 60-year-old, you know, that their bodies, you know, are what they need them to be, then they can enjoy exercise and life without having to. And that peeing, honestly, is a very minimal side effect. There can be many more severe situations that can come out of it. So I guess if you're just saying a little tiny pee that comes out when you're exercising, that's, yes, it is laughable, and yes, it's, you know, we can kind of giggle and it's a little embarrassing. It's not that big of a deal. There can be far worse, but it still shouldn't happen. And there are things that you can do to prevent it.
And is that a result of going too hard or not going hard enough? Like doing too much or doing too little?
I think it's or both. I think it's a little, it's tough.
Or either, I don't know.
I don't think it's from doing too little. I mean, and here's the thing. I mean, you can have done no exercise and you can have that happen to you, right? Okay. So strengthening any muscle is important in general, right? Yep. And the pelvic floor is a wall of muscles down there. And that hammock that I described, you can strengthen it doing different things.
Okay.
Yeah, I can tell you how you can strengthen it.
Sure. Mm-hmm. Do I want to hear that or no?
Sure. Anyone can hear it. That's not gross.
Okay, go ahead.
Okay, so if you're sitting in the chair.
Yes.
So like put your feet on the floor, sit up. Okay. And everyone can do this if they want. Okay, so now, you know, your sits bones are those bones in your butt that you can mm-hmm. kind of feel in the chair. So yeah. Those need to be aware of those, right? You're not forward and you're not, like, back. Okay, so I want you to sit on those sits bones.
Okay.
Okay, and if I told you that you're sitting on a blueberry right now.
Where on a blueberry?
Kind of like where is underneath you. Okay. Like right between the sits bones.
Okay.
Kind of like a little bit in front of, like, where your butt is.
Okay, all right.
Okay, so for...
I have to try and grab the blueberry.
So, like, thinking about, yeah, you are, see, you're good at this. So if you have this visual in your head that you are going to try to pick it up inside, mm-hmm. don't squeeze your butt cheeks. You don't get to squeeze your butt cheeks, though.
Okay.
Okay? You need to lift up from inside your body, and now can you bring it up?
Well, wouldn't you do that, like, through your core, kind of?
Yes.
Or you would, right. You would try
but,
to?
Okay, so yes, yeah, you can try doing it through your core, but you have to, you're still thinking... lower though.
Yeah.
Like, so you'd bring it up and then can you bring it up higher?
Like, well, a I don't know floor? How I'm going to pick it up in the first place. I haven't gotten there yet.
Right. So you have to envision that the pulling from.
Okay.
Yep. And you pick it up. So obviously a woman could understand this feeling of picking it up. I know it's a different visual for a man, yeah. Right? Okay. So if you're, and that's it. So if I were to do it, I was going to be helping another woman out. I just was giving, I know you're not really going to actually, you're like, how would I even do this?
So, yeah. I'm thinking about it.
Right.
I could figure it out.
Right, right. So if I was going to help a woman, right, yes. So we would start off by, I would explain that we're going to pick it up from inside. Like, we pretend as if you're lifting it up from first floor, second floor, third floor, fourth floor. Can you hold? Now, can you lower it back down, 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 down? And if you're thinking about that control that you can have inside, lifting, lowering, right? You're tightening something, you're releasing something, you know, and then completely release. Thinking of that control that you could have, now play that into if you were going pee, I could stop my urine, right? If I squeezed up and held in, I could release it. Right, I'm not saying that's what per person should do. You're not supposed to actually do it while you're urinating. You're supposed to actually just urinate and just let it all fly out.
Isn't it bad to stop when you're going?
Right, I'm just giving it an example, though. That's what the muscles would do, right? So that's what. So if I was jumping rope and I needed to hold and pull my pelvic floor currently, right, like right now today.
Do you do that without knowing it, right?
Well.
It should, right? No.
Yes and no, depending on how aware someone is of that. Do you hold your core in when you double unders?
I don't think so.
Should
do
you?
I don't know.
Should you be?
I don't know. I usually don't pee when I do that.
Right, right.
Yeah.
Right.
Even if I have to go, I usually can hold it while I'm doing them, right?
Right, yeah.
So isn't that kind of, I don't know. I guess I am thinking about it then.
Okay, so I have another scenario for you. Now, this is totally weird, but if you had to pass gas,
yeah,
could you hold it in?
Yeah.
Are you double unders?
For a while. Yeah, that'd be hard, actually.
Okay, that's it. Right there. Right. So, like, I mean, you have to. I mean, you don't want to fart in class or during double unders because what else would come out, too, right? So, if you're thinking now of a woman, so they want to make sure they empty their bladder beforehand. That's what everyone's going to run to the bathroom if they know there's double unders in the wad, right?
Do they really?
Yeah.
Huh. I'll start watching.
Thinking about for instance, just saying, a male coach could really empathize with that woman now, knowing that they would rather not have to pee during that. Now, you know that your bladder still fills, right, during class, even if you're not even drinking water. So if I have double unders, then I'm doing something else, double unders, something else, and that's a 20-minute workout.
Mm-hmm.
There could be pee, urine, and bladder that would add up through that 20 minutes. So even if I went to the bathroom before class, there is something that could come out even during. There is. Promise you there is. And, right? So my, my whole point, though, is so I was doing, it's called a Kegel, and doing this pelvic floor tightening, strengthening. There's a bunch of different ways to do it. That is one small way, right, to help your pelvic floor be strong and also be relaxed when you need it. That pelvic floor is also in charge of when the baby comes out, pushing a baby out, having to relax, having to push the baby out, having to relax. So when you've maybe seen a movie and you hear someone saying push, because I know you've not been in a delivery room. So
how do you know that?
You've been in a delivery room?
No, I have not.
I mean, let's talk about
that.
Was
an assumption.
Well, I don't, I mean,
no, I haven't ever been in a
guy 24 years old. I don't, I mean, unless you're in med school, I can't imagine you're in a delivery
room.
That's
true.
That was, I don't know, sorry, I didn't mean to take that away from you.
Can your pelvic floor ever be too weak where you can't push the baby out? Is that a thing?
So they could have, you could have a really, really relaxed, and but then that's not good too. So then think, if you can't push the baby out, what else aren't you able to hold?
Yeah. Everything you just talked about.
Okay,
and
so,
then some.
So a really cool way to think about it is you don't want your pelvic floor to be like completely tight all the time, because that's not good. You have to be able to relax at times too, right? You don't want your pelvic floor to be too relaxed, because now it can't hold anything in. It needs to be flexible. It needs to be like, you know, be able to be tight when you need to be tight. It needs to be relaxed when you need to relax. When you pee, you need your pelvic floor to be relaxed, because it needs to be able to just empty. When you don't want to pee, you want it to be right strong. Now, it's one of those things you kind of take for granted on day to day when you're walking, but you need to be able to be in control. Now, how do you know how to train a muscle? Do you train it just one way, or are there multiple ways to train a muscle?
Multiple.
There are multiple ways to do Kegels. So I gave you one example, but no different than if I told you how, like, if you could do air squats, can you do air squats at different tempos?
Yep.
Can you sit at the bottom and hold?
Yep.
Come up, right? Can you go half and then go the rest of the way? So you kind of can think about how, like, an air squat going up and down, and how you can do different ways. You can do them fast. You can do it in slow motion. You can drop to the bottom and sit, right? Hang out there for a bit, come back. You know, so kind of thinking of that, there's different ways to do Kegels.
Yeah, so the whole
strengthen your pelvic floor.
The whole pelvic floor thing has to be something that, because it's a muscle, right? Even if you lose the strength in it, you can get it back. It's not something that's permanent.
Correct.
So what would be some things that could happen that
could
go
wrong permanently? You could also damage it over time. I'm going to say damage, and I'm not saying like you're damaging it like it's gone, like you've wrecked it forever, but
you can damage it to the point where it's not going to be the same as it was.
You or you're just not maintaining it.
Damaging
isn't the right word. Just if you're not maintaining something, it's just going to not do what it needs to do for you. So
yeah, like any other muscle or pretty much any other body, right?
So now when you have, so if you're thinking of this little hammock, and now you have a 6-pound baby in your body because you're 35 weeks pregnant, and the baby's around 4, 5, 6. I mean, think about, right, what a newborn baby could weigh anywhere from, you know, I mean, really could be anything, but around 30
weeks. Pounds. That'd be huge.
No, not 30 pounds. 30 weeks, I was saying. So you're, the
30
woman
pounds
is,
would be a big baby.
No, but
though.
So I'm saying, though, so if the pelvic floor is used to just doing, you know, right now, you know, for me, I don't have a baby in my belly, so it's not holding anything in, but it is, that is my, you know, there's my bladder, but now add 6 pounds in there. Now you have organs, right, other organs inside your belly. Things are going, there's fluid, right? So it's more than just 6 pounds is all I'm saying, right? So now go running, have a 6-pound bowling ball on your belly, right? You still have all those organs, there's probably more fluid, right? Blood. And now that impact every single time, are you able to keep one muscle tight the entire time you're going for a run?
No.
You're really asking it for a lot, right?
Yeah.
Probably not. Each stride, are you really able to make sure? You know, so it's one of those things. I'm not trying to say that's why you probably shouldn't be running when you have in your 30 or doing impact, right? You're just thinking about over and over.
Yeah. So like you said, you pushed it too hard, but how do you know that? Because you don't have anyone really telling you, because your CrossFit coach isn't going to know. your doctor's not going to know, understand what you're doing, because doctors still don't really understand CrossFit in a lot of ways and stuff. But so how do you, like, because there's got to be more to it than just listening to your body, because it's a different situation.
Right.
You have your body and another body now.
Right. So I mean, that's why I want to help, and I want to reach out to, you know, ladies that know that there is no different than a progression in certain things within CrossFit, or maybe a strength progression that you've gotten yourself to, that you need to also have a progression in your exercises. And it's probably more of a deload, right, than a increase, right? Mm-hmm. You're going to have to take off. And it, here's the thing. I mean, it's, you know, of course a woman that's 30 plus weeks pregnant is not doing the same things that they were doing when they were, you know, at the beginning of their pregnancy or before. So it does slow you down, but there are, I mean, and those endorphins flying, and this is a hardcore mama exercising, mm-hmm. you can push past a lot. And yeah, how do you know? You don't. I mean, how do you know anything you're doing today is going to mess with you in the future? If you're not squatting properly, you're going to mess your knees. Mm-hmm. How would you know?
It's true.
Are you doing it right? I mean, can you stretch? Can you make sure someone's watching you? Can you make sure you have a coach? Even though Connor squat is perfect, could you say, hey, I need someone's eyes on me because I got a lot of weight going here and I'm doing this a ton, and I need someone, just because, yes, I do know a lot about CrossFit and I do squat well, I need someone's eyes on me, right? So I'd hope someone would say something and help you, right?
Yeah, so you kind of brought it back up, but what does that deload kind of look like? How long can you go going how you normally go into a pregnancy?
So unfortunately, there's not like an exact, like, first trimester is this, second trimester is this, third trimester is this. It's not, there's not like a, you know what I mean?
It's not cut and dry.
No. I mean, it's no different.
Like anything, really. There's no really.
Everyone, like I said, every person's different. Every pregnancy is different. You have to just kind of, and it is, yes, it is listening to your body, but you can use those cutoffs in each trimester as a kind of like a, you know, light bulb, whatever you want to call it, or just a hello reminder that, okay, there are things I'm going to have to cross off my list for my future body, right? You're not going to, and here's the cool thing. The one of the coolest things I can tell everyone is that you are not going to hurt your baby doing any of this stuff. It is safe. All of it is safe for your baby. As long as you're breathing, you're doing a safe, you know, you're not water skiing at high speeds, things like that, right? But as long as, so if we're talking CrossFit, I mean, as long as you are, right, being smart, you're not going to hurt your baby. So that's a cool thing.
Right? That's good.
And overheating, like I said, that was something that you could actually mess something with your own physical, right? Physical well-being if you overheat, right? There's things that can happen, right? Just in general, any person, but now you have a body, you're warmer, right? You're hotter in general when you're pregnant. So that's the best news. So you're not hurting your baby. And there's research that shows actually that exercise is actually doing, there's so many more benefits for this baby, right?
It does good for the baby.
It's positive. Definitely. Well, that's good. So that's one of those things that, like, cross that off the mom's list, right? As long as you are exercising, you are doing amazing things for your baby, right? And yourself. So check that off the list. However, now going back to what you said about, knowing, kind of being able to listen to your body, how will anyone know? Yeah, I mean, it's one of those things, like, I would hope that someone could help with programming for this person, or at least just be aware that they need to just cut out, again, the biggest thing I can say is cut out high impact exercises probably around that third trimester. So that's right around 30 weeks pregnant for a woman. They need to cut out.
30 weeks? How close is that to having the baby?
40 weeks would be the end of, usually. So baby is born right around 40 weeks. That's, again, that's if we're talking like a normal pregnancy, that it's a pregnancy is when the doctor picks a due date, it is based on 40 weeks. That is the gestation of a human baby.
So for the last, it's like 2.5 months, then you're doing not very much, then just light
well, I mean,
stuff.
You can still
move, right? And do whatever.
Yeah, I mean, I kind of equate it to, like, again, something that you could empathize with, or another person could empathize with, is, I mean, if you just came off a knee surgery, can you do things?
Yes.
Yeah, you can do it. I mean, we can think of a ton of things you can. We can all say, oh, God, I can't do anything. I just got that knee surgery. Or we can say, hold on, let's make a list. Hold on, there's a ton of stuff I can still do, right? So, I mean, yeah, we have to cross off a couple of things. Box jumps, I'd say cross off running. I'd say cross off double unders, right? Like I said, the high impact stuff, for sure. Mm-hmm. Cross that off. We haven't even talked about things that happen, like when you're hanging and what happens to your core. But if you're hanging, like doing a pull-up, right, there's like a coning that could happen.
What is that? What's a coning?
So you know how your muscles kind of, I didn't mean to take it that away, muscles in your stomach, right, when you're thinking of what, like someone who has a six-pack or an eight-pack look like, and there's that line down the middle.
Yep.
Right, that's, you know, those are, that's your mall, that's your, your, right? So that, because of when the baby is growing, those separate. So if I'm like, you know, if my muscles are, right, like making what an eight pack looks like or a six pack looks like. Now imagine me, that line down the middle separates. Okay. What's coming through, right? That's a wall of muscle, right?
Yes.
The six pack or eight pack is muscle. Now when it separates, because a baby, because it's growing, what's pushing through here? There's no longer muscle wall to hold it in. I mean, you don't want that, right? Right. So that can heck. So that muscle wall isn't able to act the same way, right? Because it needs to repair after the baby's out, right? All these things. So that can happen from just as simple as hanging, right, from a pull-up bar. So those are other things. Nothing on your back, like not doing. Definitely can't. I mean, that is one of those things that your body will tell you, like sit-ups. You need to cut those out.
Yeah,
that makes sense. Any kind of hollow body.
Why nothing on your back?
So the hollow body position, right? Think of how core intensive that hollow body position is. That coning situation could happen at that same... That's even early on, probably after multiple pregnancies, that could
happen. When you're really pregnant, though, can you even get into a hollow body?
I mean, you could.
Yeah, would it be...
A strong woman definitely could. That's what I'm trying to say. Yeah. Like, I think there's lots of things you... physically can do. I would definitely say you shouldn't. But again, rowing, that thinking of that positioning when you're rowing, we talked about how, and you know, when you and I spoke earlier, how if anyone has rowed with a vest on, you feel that feeling when you're leaning back, right? There is that's a kind of another way that you can kind of try to feel that way that a woman would feel having a baby in the belly.
In your personal experience, what does it do, like just the whole process of being pregnant and being someone who works out a lot and does CrossFit and like loves that kind of stuff, what does that do to you mentally? Like knowing that as you go on, you're not going to be able to do the things you were able to do before, does that negatively affect you at all?
I mean, I think it's all perspective with anything. Again, right? There's so many life situations that can happen to anyone that maybe slows a person down, and that you have to now... again, re-navigate or program and scale for. So I think you get creative. And again, that's, you know, what I want to be able to help women out. Like, okay, I have to take this off my list, but can I add something in place of that, that I can get my heart rate up? Right. And that's the thing. So if someone who is, let's just say, a runner, they've ran their whole life, they love running, they do it for their mental, you know, not only physical, but they do it for their mental well-being, right? They love to just go out running. Now, okay, we just took that away from them, right? And it could even be earlier than that 30-week line, like I said, depending on how the woman's feeling too. But it's not like a cut in stone. But like, what does that person do now? So then the doctor says, well, have you ever tried like prenatal yoga? You should do prenatal yoga. There's classes. Well, now think someone who's ran, right? Likes to go out for a 30-minute run, more maybe, right? Let's say it's a marathon athlete. What you're gonna tell her that she's gonna go do a yoga class, and you're gonna be like, she's like, screw you. Give me the same feelings I get from running, but like, I want to help that person, and we can help them do. There are other things you can carry, you know, farmers carry. That's you can, you know, pick up two heavy things and put, you know, odd object carry. I put a kettlebell on your shoulder, carry one in the other hand. Walk a short distance, set it down, pick it back up again, carry it, right? It's like a very simple task, but yet heart rate can go up. You're still strengthening your body, right? So I think of like we can think of other things too, right? But I mean, I can go down a list of, you and I can, maybe we probably can think of tons of things. I would love to share those with people, but I mean, we can do that another time too. I mean, I'm just saying, like, that would be one example I would give someone when they're like, I can't run anymore. What can I, you know, what can I do? Yoga's not enough. I'm not going to go sit in yoga. I'm not going to go do water aerobics. That's not enough. That's not me. I'm a runner. I'm someone, I need my heart rate up. I need to go do, right? So
yeah, so I was wondering, like, from the perspective, like, so a lot of big CrossFit athletes are getting to the time when they're, like, starting to have kids.
Yeah.
So, like, Annie Thor's daughter and Camille. What do you think it's like for them? Like, going, you're going from this high-level CrossFit athlete to all of a sudden you can't do nearly as much as you thought before. Do you think that takes a toll on you mentally?
I mean, it does. And I think it's one of those things you recenter each time. And you, again, I think focusing on what you can do versus what you can't do.
Yep.
Again, I would bring it back to that anyone can empathize with is like coming off of a surgery or something, a situation like that, that there, yes, there's a list of things that maybe you should lay off. There are still a list of things that you can do. And if you can't think of what they are, have someone else help you, right? Mm-hmm. Help program with that. So, I think there's such an empowering thing that exercising while pregnant, is, you know, feels and your body is telling you, I mean, it is harder, right? So I don't think that person is, you know, there's a, and you're not selfish. There's not a, you know, there's an unselfishness feeling that comes out, right? You're like, you're doing it for someone else too, right? Mm-hmm. So, I mean, and then if you've learned that you could possibly be messing your body up down the line, I think you can take all those things in and logically think, okay, I can tweak my programming to make it right for all these scenarios.
Yeah.
So again, and that's why I want to help people, you know, and I want to help CrossFit coaches be able to at least offer what those, you know, options would be for these people. Mm-hmm. And it's hard to, you know, you're going to tell someone, no, you shouldn't do that. It's hard to tell anyone that, right?
Yeah.
But when you see, right, a situation, you can give advice and you can offer, you know, another option or two. And I think, please, you know, telling the person, please think it over. I care about you. You know, I think that's important. And then like, no different than we're talking about things that you need to think about while pregnant that happens after pregnancy as well. You know, that has to, that's again, you just have to tweak your programming, start off slow and build up, because you know, now you have a whole different thing going on. Your body's now healing after a really big thing just went down. That's actually even, I think, if not more important, you know, for a woman who, of course, what's the number one thing you want to do after, if you've talked to a woman after they had a baby, they want to get back, right? They want to get back at it. They want their body back. They want their pre-pregnancy body back now. Now.
right now.
Nobody wants to feel like, I mean, you could be nursing a baby and you, right? Your body's healing. All these organs were all just smushed in all different places and are not in the right place. They don't just magically just, yes, the woman's body is amazing and they do fall back. They don't, it's not like, it's not overnight. It's not over, it's not the first night. It's not the second night. It's a gradual, slow process. And if you wreck that boat too soon, you pay for it.
Yeah,
it's
so
big
you,
stuff.
You kind of rolled into
more
the next
thing.
More than
just peeing your pants.
Which would be, how do you ramp it back up then? How do you know when it's safe to do so?
Honestly, it's now is said from you know, studies, it is, so 6 weeks is usually the check.
Okay, so 6 weeks of
Six weeks postpartum is when you get your clear from your OBGYN. Now,
what's that?
Your OBGYN.
OBGYN.
Yes, so that's your baby doctor, right?
Oh, okay,
right. So, so that is the doctor that will check the woman after pregnancy, go over all, you know, go over maybe any symptoms they may be having that would be bad, and they can give them the clear.
Okay.
Well, that clear though at 6 weeks isn't clear like
go Dufresne and just
definitely not. Yeah. That is like it is like you can start walking now a little faster. You know, like, but maybe you were going out for a really tiny stroll. Now you can pick up that pace. Now you can, there's all sorts of things that you
so
know,
it's 6 weeks of
you say now you can have sex afterwards. Just so you know, those are like, they have to clear you for that. Just these are like, I mean, people can do stuff beforehand, anything they want, but they like this doctor has checked you and is saying you are safe because of everything you have been through to now be able to go on. But again, there's so many things that are not, you know, healing. There are pelvic floor physiotherapists. There are, they can actually like really check you to make sure you're okay. But again, mm-hmm. there's not anyone that's going to be like, yep, go back. No, it is a definitely gradual thing. And it, what I was trying to say before, it can be from 6 weeks to a year that will take your body to heal after pregnancy.
6 weeks to a year. That's mm-hmm. a huge gap.
So six after having that baby.
Yeah, that's a huge gap.
So
after 6 weeks, what would it look like then in terms of ramping up to getting back to it? Is there once again, no answer for that, really?
There's no answer. No baby steps, though. Mm-hmm. No pun intended, yeah. But like you really have to.
So even slower than like getting, like toning it down while you're pregnant. Then,
correct.
Because at least then you know I'm having this thing in 40 weeks.
Right, and like it's babies gradually growing with you in the pregnancy, right? So you're like thinking of a weight vest. I mean, if you're going to add in like a fraction of an amount of weight every single week, and then you got to train with that for 40 weeks, you get pretty good at it, right? That's why I think about how if a woman started exercise at the beginning, when the weight gain hasn't started or minimal weight gain, and they get to continue exercising while that weight gain increases. I mean, a woman's weight gain during pregnancy, I mean, can be anywhere from 25 to 35 pounds in a healthy pregnancy. Now, that it can also be more. It can also be less, of course. But so if you're thinking you're adding on 35 pounds in your body and you got to exercise with it the entire time, think of all the positives that go with it. Now, right? So that's, and it makes it easier, right? If I was telling you to add in your weight vest, you know, for 40 weeks, you just had to add a little bit, right? Yeah. A little bit of sand or however you want to add in that weight, you know, you're going to get strong, right? Mm-hmm. But there's, you know, there is a growing belly that grows with, no different than a weight vest being annoying, right? There's posture change, there's posture situations that happen now. Your weight vest nicely fits snug around you on the back and the front. All this weight has now gone to the front in the woman. But I mean, I got off track there, but you know, it's great that you, if a woman can continue that exercise throughout, think of how, helpful that would be for them to go versus saying at 20 weeks, I'm going to start. My doctor told me that I should get moving. Shoot, I've already gained 15, 20 pounds possibly.
I'm going to pause this real quick. So afterwards, if you're too impatient and you get back into it too fast, what can happen from there?
So
is that more damaging than before, being too intense before you have the baby?
Right. I'm not a doctor, so I want to make sure talking from what I know here. But I mean, as far as the damage you can do while pregnant, I think that damage you can do while pregnant will only affect you later in your life. Right. Just kind of damaging
like
that
years
pelvic
down
floor.
The road.
Yeah. Just kind of just not caring for yourself. That's no different than not having good squat form, you know, your knee's not going to, you know, you're not going to, I mean, yeah, I guess you could blow out your knee, you know, at that moment. But, you know, if you just had terrible squat form over and over and over again, right, you could have negative effects later on. People just, wow, I have terrible knees. I need to go get physical therapy. You know, my knees are just, I just have two terrible knees, you know, but maybe you could have fixed that from health, you know, healthy squatting. Well, I think that the, when you're pregnant, right, the adverse effects of bad training or just doing the wrong stuff will affect you later in life, right? Situations with incontinence, which is accidentally going to the bathroom. Mm-hmm. Also other stuff, right, we talked about that could be far more embarrassing. Those are minimal things. But after the woman has the baby, and again, there's different ways of having baby. There's vaginally, right? And then there is cesarean, right? So that's when they cut open, right? There's the actual surgery, right, where it's cut. So there's two different things there, but no matter what, no matter either one, coming back, there's so things that you can look for, right? There could be bleeding after, going back too fast, too soon. There could be things like called pelvic organ prolapse. That's where organs, right, that are not in the right place, right? I don't want to say they fall or but they end up in the wrong places. Let's just put it that way, right? And those are a lot more serious situations. So pelvic organ prolapse is another one. You don't want to mess with all. I mean, there's a lot of organs inside, right? And they all got squished and pushed in different ways, and they're all trying to heal. Now, like again, woman just had a baby vaginally, so there's things that go on down there that you are all healing, right? Mm-hmm. Things just get pushed, you know, body just pushed a baby through. And if it was a 10-pound baby, thinking of what a 10-pound turkey looks like, right? We can imagine that pushing through a body, that area has to heal now.
Yeah.
Pushing. So thinking of what happens when you do like a power clean or, you know, a snatch, right? Those are very explosive movements. Not good, right? For a recovering body, a healing body. Now, we other have other things going on. We haven't even talked about hormones going, you know, that are changing. And I mean, is a woman nursing? That's another thing. So there's all different things going on that this body, I'm not saying you can mess anything up with nursing, but I'm just saying there's all sorts of things that are going on in this body that is now trying to heal, that just housed a baby for, you know, 9 months. And went through a big day of labor and delivery that have to heal. Like I said, I mean, definitely 6 weeks, but possibly longer. And you don't really always know unless you maybe pushed it too far. And that's kind of unfortunately what could happen, right? Mm. You don't really know until you see the negative side effects possibly happening. So again, hoping to educate coaches and women and just saying, definitely less is more, right? If we just can think about that and taking, you know, being able to take a check, you know, check it off. Like today, I'm going to do this workout that seems so simple, like maybe a beginner workout that we'd give a brand new athlete, but did I get through it? How did I feel during it? You know, we can kind of check yourself during it by not going too fast, not being too intense, right? We can kind of give those self checks, not going too heavy with the weights, right? Mm-hmm. Maybe not, no weights at all, probably be best, right? So it's just very simple body weight exercises. Did I get through that? How do I feel afterwards? How do I feel the 24 hours afterwards? You know, so you can kind of like, okay, cool. Now it doesn't mean next day you go harder. You know what I mean? Because it's, but you can say, okay, that was okay. I was safe for me, my body. All right. You know, I'll do the same intensity, same, you know, tomorrow, maybe I can add a different exercise in. So
then what do you...
No different than you would do for a beginner athlete, really. Yeah. Mm-hmm. I mean, except now not just being aware that this body is healing from a big thing.
Well, exactly. You wouldn't give him a beginner workout today and then tell him to go all you out give on him, Fran the next day and be like, okay, go.
You would never... Right. So, I mean, you can kind of think of that progression just, but, you know, still being sensitive to a myriad of other health situations that are... I don't say health situations, things that are happening, you know, things that are repairing and... you know, in the body. So,
So then what exactly are you working on? Like, what do you want to do? Like help people through the whole process during beginning, during and end?
Yeah.
Like educate them, like teach them what to do.
If they need to know, if they want to know more, right. Give them more options. Yeah. I think the biggest thing is the education, and I would love to be able to help with consulting. These women, because I think anyone who is an exerciser, they don't need me to come up with a whole program for them necessarily, right? If it's someone who has been a CrossFitter for, you know, a handful of years, I'm sure they can come up with things as long as they just understand, you know, little tweaks within their workout, right? So that's just more education, I feel like. And then maybe making sure, again, you have a good coaching team around you if you're going to a gym or a partner who you're exercising with to make sure, like, you're... have good lifting form and your posture's right? Because again, your balance is now off, and right? Because again, like we talked about, you don't just have a vest on that has weight in the back and the front. Do you notice that a lot
in the front? Like, just is that something that actually
personally? Yeah, I mean,
does that actually pull you forward?
Right. So, I mean, if you had a 25-pound medicine ball and strapped around you with duct tape, would you feel like it was pulling you forward?
Yes.
You know what I mean? But again,
yeah.
However, did it? It started off as a racquetball. Or, you know, a ping pong ball.
Yep.
So you got, you know, you get, and if the person did exercise while that baby was growing and was consistent, right? Yeah. They got to learn that growing body through their exercises. So that person would be in a better position to continue exercise. You know what I mean? To have better form, have better posture, better alignment, right? Because that medicine ball didn't just go from 0 pounds to 25, right? Yeah. Not that you couldn't figure it out, though, but I mean, saying, though, you got to go, you know, you got to work with it. So
yeah.
As it grew, which is, again, more power to the person that exercised mm-hmm. before and during. I mean, I guess like obviously before, but had that base beforehand, right? That fitness base, mm-hmm. that strength base. Think of what that can do for you. No, if the person didn't, it doesn't mean like anything, right? If a person says, you know, I'm 55 years old, is it too late to start exercising?
Mm-hmm.
No, we can. No, great.
Yeah.
Right? We can come up with stuff. We'll get you going. Mm-hmm. There's like a lot of time ahead, right? And a lot of time to get stronger and healthier. I mean, right? So it's like but think about how, if a woman was from the beginning, mm-hmm. got to work with that growing body.
Yeah, I think it's something that is really missing in CrossFit, because we know what to do with people who are injured. We know what to do like with older people, like you said. We know what to do with people who are big, like
teens,
overweight, teens, kids. But we don't know, like, if someone came in and asked me about it, I wouldn't know what to say.
Yeah.
That's not good. Because then you end up turning people away that you want in the gym.
Well, and here's, right. So there's, again, you have the mom that's been CrossFitting. So she does know what to do for the most part. And mm-hmm. she is empowered because she does have that base, which is excellent. So you just have to tweak stuff with her, right?
Mm-hmm.
And just, again, and reminders, but that her baby doctor, her OBGYN, is not telling her to stop doing double unders at 30 weeks. They don't. Mm. They're probably saying, oh, just be careful.
Yep.
Be careful at the gym. Are you squatting? Are you lifting a lot of weights? Be careful, right? Mm. That's what they're saying to me, right? Just, Aaron, are you sure you're being careful?
What do you say? Yes.
Yeah, I was. Yes. But I was not going balls to the walls then, because I was like thinking about, I was like, whoa, I am doing double. Can I do double unders? Oh, yeah, I can. This can't be right. I was kind of like, but I didn't know 100% was I doing it wrong. Mm. But I mean, I was like, I could push through it for sure. I could push through it, but I don't think it's a good idea. And I definitely put pride aside. All right, those are off the list.
Mm.
Yeah, but yeah. I mean, yeah, CrossFit coach, any trainer, anywhere, right? I mean, you want to be able to help someone, but
have
that person
the knowledge
has that
to
has
help
person
someone.
Has to be coachable.
Yeah,
has to be able to accept it, you know. But mm-hmm. again, how confident are you? You know, how confident is a 25-year-old guy telling a 35-year-old mom what to do? Watch it. Yikes.
You better not do
that. No, be careful. But I mean, right.
Yeah.
Now, if you learned a little bit about maybe things that could go on or what's happening, or just little tweaks that you could give, you know, and just say, hey, I'm looking out for you. I know that, you know, where are you in your pregnancy? Oh, okay, cool. You know, 20 weeks. Okay, cool. So, all right, you're halfway. And all right, I mean, you probably can keep doing the things you're doing. Are you feeling good when you work out? Do you feel good afterwards? We can kind of say that. But now you're like, oh, where are you at? You know, I don't know where you're at in your pregnancy now. You know, oh, 30 weeks. Okay. Are you continuing to do all the things the same as you were? You know, do we need to talk about in this workout today? What are some things we should scale potentially? Hmm. You know, let's get that out here first before we get into the workout, because I want to make sure you're thinking of, you know, you're maintaining everything you have today and being safe with your future, you know, self, looking out for you, you know. Mm-hmm. So if I think you go from that place of I'm looking out for you, I care about you mm-hmm. as a coach, right? Then you, you know, maybe you could, oh, thanks for looking out for me. Yeah, I didn't really have a plan for my double unders. I was going to try to do them. I was going to try to do single unders. Is that okay?
Mm-hmm.
Well, you're going to still be jumping.
Yeah.
Let's think of what else we could sub in during that time, you know?
Yeah.
So.
Yeah.
Right.
Is there anything I missed? Is there anything else you want to talk about?
Oh.
There's probably a lot of things I missed.
I don't know about anything you missed. I just.
Anything else you want to touch on, I guess I should say.
I was going to say the biggest, I think that one of the best movements that a woman can do during pregnancy is squatting.
Okay.
It's really important to be able to be in that, you know, be able to figure out that positioning and helps during labor. And I think there's a lot of benefits. Again, that would be a vaginal labor, but with that positioning, when you're in a squat position, I don't know if anyone knew this. Now, I wish I would have known this, but that is the point, and you're at the base of your squat where your pelvis is the most wide it can be. So if you're thinking about keeping you know, getting everything as wide as it can be to have a baby come out in the bottom of a squat. I know there's a visual there. Mm. However, however, if you would like to, you know,
yep.
have a shorter delivery labor time and that in a time to push, that'd be a good position to hang out in and be comfortable with. And just throwing that out there to the moms that are pregnant or someday will
so
be.
So not even like a weighted squat even. Just
I'm just saying,
just squats in general.
Squats, well, just getting air comfortable squats, in that yeah. bottom position, mm-hmm. and just yeah, being able to then think about what that floor can tighten and release in that position, and yeah. Mm. So that's one of those things that like I didn't know then, yeah. and I wish I knew. I'm not saying I necessarily would have definitely did that, but I'm just saying, hey, squatting in life is a necessary thing yeah. daily, right?
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
So I'd say that's definitely something to consider.
For sure.
Yeah. But I think if nothing else, just kind of having that empathy of, you know, for any coach and then anyone around them, you know, supporting that mom and, you know, within exercise, and there's all the positives that can come with exercise during pregnancy and afterwards, and then just not rushing it. Not rushing into things afterwards. The stigma of wanting to get that, you know, that pre-pregnancy body back. Yes, it will be a lot easier if you did exercise during pregnancy, but knowing that there is time, you'd have to take the time, and it's not just a one size fits all program. You know, for that, for every pregnancy or for, you know, I mean, again, even any woman, that first pregnancy recovery is different than the second pregnancy recovery is different than the third pregnancy recovery and fourth, fifth. I mean, there's, you know, it's possible and it's all doable and it's great. But just knowing that there are challenges along the way and just being careful and patient, if it's a second, third, fourth pregnancy, you are also caring for another
yeah.
child running around besides the one that's inside, right? So, mm-hmm. Another thing I didn't touch on that I think is really cool that I don't think people realize is how lifting things. Think about a woman who just had a baby. Now has to lift a car seat. So if they never exercised, right? So now we're going to tell someone who hasn't exercised. Ever if they didn't during pregnancy, right? So they didn't. Their body just went through a ton, right? They just had a baby. They had a delivery, a labor and delivery. The body went through a lot. Now you need to pick up a diaper bag in one arm. You need to pick up a car seat.
Yeah, yeah.
Car seat on its own weighs a couple pounds. Now we're going to add a baby. Let's just say it weighs 7 pounds. The baby weighs 7. So maybe the whole thing weighs, let's just say 9. Okay, now that baby's going to grow, right?
Yeah,
it gets,
yeah.
gets, and it's putting on weight. You know, pretty good, right? Mm-hmm. Right. So, being able to lift up that car seat properly. So those are all really big body mechanics that, like, if you can learn those during pregnancy, and think of what a great odd object is than a car seat to have to carry and lift. You know, so I kind of like to use that in my my pregnancy training. Like, I mean, get your arm around the, you know, the car seat, put a diaper bag on your shoulder, and you walk, right? And where are you walking to? Your car out in the middle of the parking lot if you're going to Target, right? So what does that look like? Sure, it looks like a odd object carry of holding a kettlebell, possibly, you know, and maybe two kettlebells in each arm. We could train for that.
Mm-hmm.
So just kind of thinking of, you know, maybe she has one kid on the hip that weighs 25 pounds because that's her first kid. Second one's in the car seat.
Mm.
You have to carry two different things,
mm.
open a car door, right? Or get in and out of. So yeah. It's like thinking of how you can prepare yourself. I mean, take it for granted of doing that action and the woman would take it for granted. Now, what if they, right, got to train for it? And imagine if you bent over with the baby on your hip and now you did that, you picked up that car seat the wrong way, right?
Yeah.
You can't have that mom now say like she just threw out her back. Because now what? Mm. Now who's helping? You know what I mean?
Exactly.
Now she's laying in bed. Now we have a newborn. And we have a 2-year-old running around the house.
Yep.
And now the mom is, you know what I mean? Blew that way out of proportion. But it's, what if we trained for that? And you can.
Yeah.
there's so many things that can happen afterwards through this bad body mechanics of putting this car seat into the car the wrong way, mm-hmm. of a very tired mom at 2 a.m., the 2 a.m. feeding, a 4 a.m. feeding, a 6 a.m. feeding, of being shoulders bent over having to nurse a baby, and you do that throughout every night because you're so fatigued and tired. And they wonder why their upper back is so tight. Why is my back killing me? Because you didn't realize that overnight your shoulders were rounded because you're so tired. You're so tired and you're nursing a baby. Mm-hmm. And yeah, I mean, there's positions you can get yourself in. I mean, I'm not trying to say like get yourself in the perfect nursing position, but you can prop pillows, right? And do things. And already, what if you already were strong and you already had your body in a position of strength because you exercised during your pregnancy? And you are aware of body mechanics, prop some pillows, get yourself in a good spot. You can avoid that severe back pain afterwards. Because again, you have a list of other things that are all happening, right, in your recovering body. Let's not add new things to our list. Because, you know, there's a list, right, of things that are going to be going on. Mm-hmm. So, yeah, so I mean, I guess there's, I mean, I can keep going of you know, fun stuff to talk about, but.
Yeah, it's crazy. It's a complex thing, and I'm just glad I don't ever have to do it.
But you'll be a good support person.
Yes, exactly. And I'll be great.
And I told, I did tell you, and I don't know if you've talked about this to other people, but how I think that you've trained for this. You've trained for this in your row.
Yeah.
Your Thanksgiving row.
Why was that? I know we've talked about this, but why is that me training for this?
Well, sleep deprived state.
Okay, most of the time.
I'm just kidding. Grueling physical situation, right? Labor for a woman, right? Right. Did you have soreness afterwards?
Yes. A little bit.
Just a little?
No, that was a lot. That was a lot.
Yeah, I mean, so I think kind of what I know I joked with you about it, but I know, and I drew a parallel, but I'm not trying to say that every guy should get out there and do what you did, but if you can...
They should.
if you really, you know, if someone hasn't been through it yet, and I mean, you really need to empathize with what that what that female's going through, I think empathy is huge, and to understand what that looks like, and I mean, I think that'd be a pretty good test. So I think you did a little mini test. You just don't have a baby with you after you're done. You just didn't have to care for a thing that it's crying and needing you for milk and survival.
Yeah, but don't you think that's the last thing a woman would want to hear in that situation is me saying, "Oh yeah, I know how you feel."
Yeah, Oh, don't say any of this. Don't tell her that you trained for it, but you would definitely be able to think to yourself.
Or tell her this is nothing. I did.
I definitely would not do that either. You will get called many names and possibly punched. And I think your mom would.
Not be happy.
She would hit you too. Yeah, but I think knowing what you went through and knowing how you felt, right? Walking in someone else's shoes, if you can kind of say, how could you ever put yourself in a position of what a woman is going through in that delivery room? You can't. You can. Mm. However, you did have sleeplessness. You did have a physical situation that you undertook, and you did have a tired, sore body afterwards. I mean, put yourself through a pretty good 30 plus hours of what it could what it could look like. Now, did you get to sleep a ton afterwards?
Not really, no.
You didn't sleep like at all? You didn't get like a solid 8 hours or a solid 6 hours?
Not even. No, because I slept for a few hours and then went to Crossings where everybody was, came back home and slept again, and then it was Thanksgiving.
Then you slept again at night?
Probably like 2-3 hour blocks there.
Yeah. And but then, see, but if you were the had a newborn, after, though, if you had a newborn, you'd be lucky if you were getting a 2 or 3 hour block.
That's true.
Depending on how good your newborn slept. But
hopefully good. That was like a prerequisite for me.
Yeah, no, when I think you. But you can definitely have empathy for someone. Yeah, I would not. For sure. Yeah, would not tell her that. Would not tell that.
Yeah, probably not a good idea. I'll stay away from that.
That you've
in the situation.
It was harder than what she's going. Yeah.
That'd be good. Don't funny.
you know this now. See, we got this out. We got this out of the way. But not to say, zip it.
Exactly.
Hold a hand.
Yep.
Yeah.
So you saved me with that one.
Yes. That's good. Yeah, well, maybe, good. Hopefully we're saving other men from being punched. And yeah, strap a, you know, med ball to your belly, try to row, try to do some things. Mm. I know Graham Holmberg did that when his wife was pregnant. Yep. I would love that. Yeah, and there's, you do that as a coach at a gym, 25-year-old guy, you have a lot of women very happy with you, and I bet they'll listen to you.
I'm only 24, so.
Okay, 24. I just kind of was more.
You make me feel old.
I wasn't necessarily saying you specifically. I'm just kind of saying.
Yeah,
like,
yeah, I gotcha.
I'm at a gym. What is a 25-year-old guy coach? You can tell me about what I went through or what I'm going through, but you could do it. You can try, you know, that'd be a good little game.
Yeah, try to. Well, Aaron, thanks a lot for coming back on the show.
Yes.
Thanks for making time.
Of course.
And thank you, everyone, for listening. I hope you enjoyed this episode of the podcast. We'll see you next week for another episode of the Up Before You podcast. Thank you, everyone, and have a great day.